Hello, everyone. This is Eugene Starks, NAHU president. Welcome to The Jump Off, where we take a big leap into everything leadership and NAHU.
Well, I'm super excited to come right on back with another installment of our podcast. And Eugene, we have a super special guest this time that I'm sure everyone knows. But just in case there is one person out there that's not familiar, do you want to go ahead and introduce our guest?
I do. Well, look, I'm excited to jump off into this conversation today with Marcy Buckner, the NAHU Senior VP of Government Affairs. And Emma, like you, I don't think there's many people that wouldn't know her, but in case you haven't met her yet, you will. And we're glad to have her here today to have a conversation with her about all the amazing things she's doing to help shape the story of NAHU.
Marcy, welcome to the podcast. Hopefully you know that we're going to probe a little bit into what makes Marcy Marcy. So Eugene usually will ask you, how the heck did you get here? So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that very first meeting you walked into that got you on this podcast today.
Sure. So I've been with NAHU since March of 2012, so just shy of 10 years. And I've had an amazing experience with you all. We were reminiscing before recording about my first meeting in Mississippi, but my actual first NAHU chapter meeting when I started was in Florida. And Wayne Sakamoto, I think a lot of folks, that will be a familiar name across the country to people, invited me down because their chapter was lucky enough to have then Governor Rick Scott coming to speak, which is huge, as you can imagine. And so he put out a line to NAHU, since I was working with Region 5, which is where Florida is, and asked if I would be interested in coming down. Of course, right? The governor's coming to your meeting. Of course I want to be there. So that was very exciting. I still have a signed note that's framed in my office from Governor Scott from that meeting. After speaking with him, I gave him my card and he sent a note thanking me and the Florida chapter for everything that they were doing in that state to impact legislation and regulations for Florida and to better the health insurance market for all consumers. So that was a wonderful way to jump off into NAHU and start my relationship with the states and the state chapters that I just really do enjoy going out and meeting all of you and speaking to your chapters and getting to know you and what you're doing in your states.
That's awesome. So I thought, you know, your very first meeting was in Mississippi and that just totally shaped and set the trajectory of your career at NAHU, but
Wayne, it did have an impact. It definitely had an impact, Eugene. Mississippi always does.
Well, no.
I do remember this. She wanted to prove to us that she had the Southern cred, right? And early on, she's kind of lost some of that Southern accent. She speaks a lot faster than she did 10 years ago after all these years in DC. But I remember her walking into the meeting and y'all was sharing with you, Emma, it's like for a while, our regional legislative person on staff for Region 5 seemed to be turning over. And I don't know if it was something we were doing, but, you know, Marcy came in and there was just something different about her, her passion, her engagement with the members. So we had a great time. And ever since then, she can't get too far away from me. I'm always bugging her about something.
Well, and I said y'all. And so I think as soon as I said that, I had all of y'all convinced that I would be a good fit with Region 5. Yeah, I think y'all were a little nervous. I did grow up in South Carolina, so that's where a little bit of my accent is, but I went to graduate school in Boston. And so hearing, you know, and I did have a little time, some other jobs in between that and coming to NAHU, but I think y'all were a little nervous that this might be, you know, an outsider coming in, but then warmed right up to me. So thank you.
Well, color me surprised, Marcy, because this whole time I've gotten serious California West Coast vibes from you. So As much as Eugene's mind is blown that your first meeting was not the Mississippi meeting, I am blown that you're not from the West Coast. So that's a fun fact.
So probably you went to bed at night as a child dreaming that you would work for NAHU one day, right?
I did.
So how did you get from Boston in law school to NAHU?
Yeah, so it's been a great journey. And I did not, as a little girl, go to sleep thinking I would work for NAHU or be a lobbyist. I did start thinking about that in college, though. And I always say, growing up in South Carolina in a small town, because I am a small town girl, that might be surprising too to some people because I'm such a city girl now. But, you know, my parents had very obvious jobs. My mom was a school librarian. That's obvious. You all, everyone knows there needs to be a librarian at school. My dad was retired Air Force and then worked for a bank. Everybody knows someone has to work at the bank, right? And my friend's parents had jobs that were very similar to that. And I had friends whose parents were in the state legislature, were state representatives and state senators. So I knew about government, but I didn't realize the impact that lobbying had and lobbyists and what the industry really did until I went to college. And in one of my political science classes, there was a guest who came and she was a healthcare lobbyist, which is obviously very fitting. And she was there to talk about Hillary Care. So that'll give you an idea of when I was in school and her experience lobbying with Hillary Care. I just was so enthralled and so engaged with her and thought, regardless of what the issue is, just the power that she had, that someone has as a lobbyist in specific industries, to be able to change the law and impact everyone's life without really, not everyone knows that you do that, right? So I didn't go to sleep at night thinking this is what I wanted to do, but now I go to sleep at night knowing that I've had a hand in shaping the laws of this country and making it a better environment for healthcare consumers, which I think really is everyone in this country. And I can be really proud of that, but it's not something that everybody knows, right? So I feel like it's, you just get to know that in your heart, that that's what you're doing. And then, of course, I shout from the rooftops all of the victories that NAHU has had. That's where I kind of got the inspiration was from this guest speaker at my class. And then I knew I was also interested in really administrative law, and which is how regulations and things work, as well as the legislation. So I went to law school. I did several internships at the Massachusetts State House in the Attorney General's office. I became a little mouse at the Massachusetts State House for 3 years and then moved to DC. I did not have a job lined up. So my parents were really nervous about that, as you can imagine. I was 25 years old and just pounded the pavement until I found my first job at a lobbying firm.
Marcy, I've always wondered this because, you know, we all on this podcast and most people who are going to listen to this work in healthcare. And to me, healthcare is a really big deal. It's like one of the biggest economic impacts on the US. And so sometimes I wonder if we would all be as passionate about something else that government legislation is involved in. Do you think because healthcare is such a big looming thing for this country that we get more passionate about it, or there's more work to do? Does that kind of light a fire for you a little bit?
It definitely lights a fire for me. I think if I was in another industry, I don't think I would have the impact that I have. And I don't know if I would still be with the same organization. So I've been with NAHU for almost 10 years. That's a long time in DC. A lot of times lobbyists move around very, very quickly here, just a couple of years here, a couple of years there. And I think some of that is boredom with issues. Not every organization has the bandwidth that NAHU has with so many issues that we're working on. And that was one of the things that attracted me to you all, coming from the trade association that I was with, which represented healthcare practitioners. And coming to you all, it wasn't just the day-to-day business of agents and brokers and regulations that impact that. It was the expanse of the health insurance industry and getting down to the consumer, getting down to very granular levels, talking about reinsurance and, you know, all of these different things. And so realizing that I think some people with, if they're in a job and they don't see what the end is, right? Like, well, when does this project ever end? If there's not an ending there and you don't know when you're done, how do you continue? But for me, knowing that you're never done, knowing that there's always something else to work on, something else that we can do to improve the industry, to improve the markets, is very powerful. And that's what I think is a huge part of keeping me here, is because we are talking about the health insurance industry, and there's so many pieces there.
When you talk about that, and I think about as I'm sitting here today and president of NAHU, and when I just opened this little agency in 2000, you know, I did not imagine this. And what I really didn't imagine was being this engaged with healthcare policy and insurance policy, you know, at the state level and now, of course, at the national level. When you are engaged in this industry, you really have to be engaged in the policy that's shaping it. And I think so many people miss that. So it's a great opportunity, but what are some of the successes, some things that really made you excited about being here? And maybe what are some of the things we kind of feel more like we failed at? And it's kind of like we've got this continued mission to try to correct that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I will mention that just a couple of weeks ago, do like a little crossover shout out to NEHU's other podcast, the Healthcare Happy Hour. We went through for Thanksgiving and talked about the things that we were thankful for that happened this year from a legislative and regulatory perspective. And those really were a lot of our victories. So if you want a long list, check out that episode over at the Healthcare Happy Hour. But some of those things, and again, we're talking about pieces that can impact very, very small aspects to those that are very large. So just a couple of years ago, getting the Cadillac tax finally repealed, that was a huge victory for NEHU. And that's something, yes, there were other groups that were lobbying for that, but many of them didn't have the membership like we do. And so something that we brought to the table working with other groups to get the Cadillac tax repealed were all of those messages that you sent to members of Congress through Operation Shout. That was hugely helpful. I just can't even describe how helpful that was to show members of Congress how important that was. So that 40% excise tax doesn't exist, right? We don't have that. And think about how much that would have impacted the cost, especially of group plans, if we were sitting here and that had gone into place. And that was something, again, it didn't happen overnight. We had to keep working at it. We would get 1 and 2 year delays, onesies, twosies, our way there. And then finally we got the repeal. So just even that example is an example of like, oh gosh, did we fail? We only got a 1 year delay. Now we got a 2 year. Are we ever going to be done with this issue? And then we finally got the full repeal. So now we can kind of check that off our list. So that's something that would have been very costly for the insurance industry and employers. And then comparing that to one of the wins we got this year, which was just something simple, like allowing a carryover of your FSA funds from 2020 to 2021 because of the pandemic, because you all weren't able to use your FSA funds. And we heard that almost immediately towards the beginning of 2020, you all reached out to us and said, our clients are asking about this. They don't want to lose this money, but they can't use it because of restriction on in-person care. And so it took to the end of the year, unfortunately, but we were able to get that rollover. And then earlier this year in 2021, they extended how much you can put in an FSA to try to help folks out as well. So going from the extremes of how, you know, a Cadillac tax can impact employers, which does get down to the granular level of those individual employees and whether they're going to be having to contribute more to their premiums. And then also looking at something just, and it sounds so easy, right? A rollover of your FSAs and having that as a huge win for people, where if we weren't bringing that up, I don't know if anyone else was.
Very good example.
You know, Marcy, that kind of brings up a question for me, actually, as a member. How do we, as an organization, how does your team decide what issues we're going to advocate for or not for? You mentioned that we, and I assume you meant members of the association had expressed something that we decided was legislatively appropriate for us to kind of chase down. So are we just listening to our membership in terms of what we need to do? And how do you decide what to pursue versus what not to pursue from the national level?
Yes. So I get inundated every day with emails. So thank you all for your patience and my response, because it can be a little overwhelming sometimes, especially during this time of year and with a lot of the change that we've seen over the past 2 years with the pandemic and new rules coming out. Last year, it seemed like every week that we're impacting employers specifically because of the pandemic. But I do. I read my emails. I see what is going on from your perspectives, from your communities, because that makes a huge difference. It can't just be what I think sitting in my office in DC, because that is very different than what you all are seeing across the country. And then as I see what's happening, we talk about it with our legislative management team and the legislative council. So all of these issues go through our NEHU member leadership so that we can gauge where our membership is on a specific issue. Sometimes we have members on both sides of an issue, and so it can be very difficult to determine how exactly we're going to engage on advocacy. So sometimes we stay quiet on issues, and other times we are very loud. Sometimes we do very targeted meetings on the Hill with either specific members of Congress and the administration, and other times we ask you guys to message every member of Congress on something. So it is a very nuanced approach to advocacy when we're working with members that are as diverse as you all are. And when I say diverse, I mean from business practice backgrounds, who your clients are, employers, sizes of employers, you know, even down to on the individual market, Medicare, all of these different things. So we want to make sure, especially when we're taking up the different pieces and looking at, well, this issue that someone has brought to me, how can it be fixed? Is it legislation? Does it need to go through the agencies? Is it a regulation? Is it something else? So looking at how we can solve it, and then also looking at making sure that if we are solving a problem in one area of the market, we're not causing a problem in another area of the market. The current administration likes to talk about healthcare equity. And so that is a way that I have discussed it actually with this administration, is making sure when we're looking at healthcare equity that we are looking at the different markets. And then even looking within the markets, there were some things they were looking at doing with employer markets that we cautioned could result in inequity amongst the different classes of employees. And so we always like to make sure that we're doing the best for as many people as we can.
So there's so much crosses my mind, goes through my mind as you make those comments, because I think, you know, particularly in fourth quarter, there's all this legislative stuff going on. I'm focusing on my clients and just trying to survive. Emma knows what I'm talking about. So my point is, you know, as a member, there's so much value in knowing that somebody's the sentinel standing on the wall while I'm trying to take care of my clients and the things we do every day. Do you sense that responsibility and the fact that you're really out there working while we're back home, if you will, working to just take care of our clients?
I do sense that, Eugene, and it is an honor that you all trust me and my team to do that. We do not take that for granted, that you all have put your trust in us to be on guard, to watch out for changes in the industry as they're happening, because you all are busy, not just in fourth quarter, I know throughout the year, because that's something that we remind policymakers here all of the time, that you all are there to service your clients 365 days a year. I know that this is the busy time with renewals, but we want to make sure that you all are able to service your clients and do so in a confident manner, knowing that we're here on guard, so to speak, as the sentinel, making sure that we don't see disruptive practices being put in place either by Congress or the administration.
You know, Marcy, I do hope that you realize that you're such a keystone to this organization. When we started the podcast, I mentioned that I don't believe that there's anybody who doesn't know who you are. And hopefully, if that one person existed somewhere out there, they are clamoring over to the website to find out more about you. But one thing that we've been asking all of our guests, and I'm curious, especially from your perspective, because every time we interact with you, you're so passionate about legislation, as you should be. But I want to know, what is the greatest value of NAHU to you that is not related to anything legislative?
First, that is very flattering to think that so many members know who I am. I'm usually very modest, so I'm a little embarrassed, but thank you. It does link back to legislative issues, but maybe not in the manner that is as obvious, but the knowledge base of our members is so valuable to me. When I'm looking through different bills or we're having conversations with staffers on the Hill, the administration about different markets and different really, really specific issues where I need help from, you know, understanding exactly what result will happen if they put a specific policy in place. That's where I go, right? Because we have seen, as you all know, over the past several years, especially with the ACA, a lot of unintended consequences have happened due to policy, right? So we want to make sure as we're moving forward, we don't see that. So the knowledge base that our members have, knowing that I can go to our database, look at who is active in a specific market or has a specific background, and have a conversation with them about these very in the weeds, nitty gritty details, and be able to pull that information and provide it back to whoever is asking for it, whether it's Congress or agencies, and have that be a reliable source. That is one of the biggest benefits to me of our membership and one of the best qualities that you all have.
That's awesome. I see that, and Emma sees that, and you know, not just on the legislative side. But I tell everybody, I mean, I would not be the agent I am, the businessman I am. I have learned so much from the members, and whether it's, you know, talking in the bar at CapCon, which is, you know, obviously one of our favorite places, but the relationships I've developed, and I can call Emma. I mean, there are so many complex issues out there that are not even legislative, technology and this. And that's the value that I derive out of membership is the knowledge, the collective knowledge of all of our members and their willingness to share it. And that's what I hope all of our members are picking up. And even as we jump off into these podcasts, you know, that people are hearing, whether it's the healthcare happy hour or this podcast or at a meeting, that people are hearing about the knowledge and knowing that everybody's willing to share it. So I appreciate you bringing that up. And it certainly doesn't just apply to what's going on legislatively. It's all of the nuances we deal with as consultants trying to serve clients.
And I am not a health insurance agent. I know some people are surprised to hear that from time to time, but I'm not. And that's why I need you all. My expertise lies in not just understanding the way that DC works, how advocacy works, ways to put strategies together, how to identify the right people to talk to, how to get some of these things done. Those are the skill sets I put together along with the knowledge of the health insurance industry that I've gotten along the way, which is quite extensive. I always joke, I am the most exciting person to talk to at a cocktail party. If you want to go home and fall asleep, I'm just kidding.
No, it's all exciting stuff. Well, here, let me save you from too much excitement of health insurance just for cocktail parties. So here's the thing, y'all work hard. You work hard. The whole staff works hard. Y'all are working hard now because we're prepping for Capitol Conference and it's going to be a lot of work to do. But I have this feeling, Marcy, that you just don't only work at NAHU. You probably do some things outside of that that are not healthcare related and are not boring at parties. Now, I could make a reference to Tiny Dancer. You might want to relate to that or elaborate on that. What are some of your, you know, things that you do for Marcy when you're not just doing everything for us?
Yeah. a lot of people know that I am very passionate about my dog, Harrison. He's the King Charles Spaniel. I rescued him a couple of years ago, and he is a great NEHU supporter as well. He loves going and seeing his dog sitter when I'm off visiting you all. So I spend a lot of quality time with him just because he is a rescue needing some rehabilitation, so to speak. Then you said Tiny Dancer. I grew up dancing and singing. That's probably something people don't know about me. I grew up on the stage, which is why I'm probably so comfortable being on stage talking to you all at your events. But now I am a supporter. So I support the Kennedy Center and the Washington Ballet. So I am able to continue my love for the arts, not on stage in the same way that I used to be, but in being able to be involved in other ways now as a donor.
That's awesome.
Marcy, I think what I've really gotten out of this conversation with you is that NEHU always provides an opportunity to both learn and to teach. The one thing that I always talk about in terms of the value of NEHU is that when you first join, you learn, you learn, you learn, you learn. And then at some point that table turns and you start to teach. But you've proved to me that even at your level, having been involved as much as you have for as long as you have, you still get to learn from us,
yes,
maybe as much as we get to learn from you. So thank you for giving that insight. And thanks so much for having a conversation with Eugene and I today.
Thanks for having me.
So Marcy, really, thank you for joining us. It's a very busy time of year. You know, with our podcast, we kind of record a little ahead of time and leave a lot of work for Dan to do to edit, make us all look good and sound good. But we are right on the Christmas and New Year holiday, and it's a high holy time for a lot of us. So, yeah, I just want to thank you all for all you're doing to serve NEHU and wish everybody just a blessed holiday season and a happy new year. And we'll continue this service and this battle that we fight into the new year. Thank you.